Okay, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday, March 11th, 2020 meeting of the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors. We have a roll call, please.
Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Villa. Director Repogo.
Here.
Vice President White.
Here.
President Austin.
Here. Will you all please stand and join me in the flag salute? And then I'd just like to ask, when we're through with the flag salute, I'd like people to remain standing for a moment of silence for our former supervisor and Assemblyman Kacho Kajian. So if you'll please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there an agenda review? Anybody want to change anything on the agenda?
President Austin, members of the board, we have an amended 7B for you, and the revised staff report is in front of you and as a handout over there for the public. The amendment is for the payment for Mark Schwinn for the work done on the emergency generator for $8,494.25. So that would take the cash disbursements up to $98,567.16. So the recommendation in 7B would be as amended.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can we get a motion to approve the agenda is presented.
I so move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we'll move on now to public comments for items, that are not on the agenda. So I have two slips here, so I'll go ahead and call them first, and then I'll let everybody else come. So Rita from Slocog. Rita 2. I said it wrong.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Board of Directors. I'm Ritu Morali Duran. I am a transportation planner at SLO Council of Governments.
Turn it up. Can you get a little closer? I don't think they can.
Yeah. So the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, California Highway Patrol, and Caltrans are happy to announce that we are implementing a brand new free service here in SLO County called Freeway Service Patrol, and it will begin this Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. The goal of this new program is to provide congestion relief, improved air quality, and safety for drivers on U.S. Highway 101 during peak commute hours by mitigating incident and minor accident-related traffic congestion. This service is composed of a small fleet of tow trucks that will patrol designated routes of Highway 101, ready to eliminate problems as they arrive Monday to Friday during peak commute hours. Services that Freeway Service Patrol will provide include changing flat tires, jump-starting vehicles, refilling radiators and taping leaky hoses, putting a gallon of fuel in gas tanks if someone runs out of gas, towing inoperable vehicles to a safe location off the freeway free of charge, clearing vehicles and damaged in collisions under CHP direction, and removing debris from traffic lanes under CHP direction. Beat number one of this program, which will commence this Friday afternoon, runs from the US 101 Los Osos Valley Road interchange in the city of San Luis Obispo and extends approximately 11 miles southwards to North 4th Street interchange in the city of Pismo Beach. Implementation of beat number two, which will cover the Cuesta Grade area, is scheduled to begin in July. Please join us for a ribbon cutting ceremony in front of Pismo Beach City Hall this Friday at 2:30 p.m., just ahead of our inaugural run. Please take a look at our flyer for further details. And I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Well, wonderful. Thank you. Anyone on the board have any questions? Karen, do you have any questions?
No.
So what kind of vehicle will be used? How will it be marked?
So the vehicles will all be marked with our logo right here.
And oh, okay.
They will all be tow trucks and small fleet vehicles.
And then how do you call to get the assistance?
They're located.
Oh, they're just patrolling, and they see if they, whatever they see, then they'll stop.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for coming. Are there any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Right. Creative way to solve a problem that's growing and growing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment for items not on the agenda? No, go ahead.
Good evening. My name is April, Five Cities resident. For not on the agenda, something that I just had to deal with recently with the OCSD is the fact that there is no ability to make an electronic payment for my bill. And I don't know if you know what tax season is like for people who work in that industry. I'm at the office at before 8 a.m. and I'm home after 10 p.m. So to not be able to go online and make a payment or call in a credit card or in any way not have to write a check, because, again, it's 2020 and who writes checks? I work in the finance industry and nobody really writes checks anymore. So I would really request that you guys try to think about the today world where we use electronic payment and maybe make it easier for the 7,000-plus residents who live in this community. I know that the district cares enough about their employees to do direct deposit, so we have the capability to be more modern, and I would request that, you know, people who get paid a large sum of money maybe put a little effort towards that. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Is this Robert McLeod?
Do we want to answer her?
No.
No. It's on our rules.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the board. I'm Robert McLeod. I'm a staff representative for Service Employees International Union Local 620. We represent about 4,000 government employees between Paso Robles all the way down to Carpinteria in the south. And we're also privileged to represent some of your workforce right here. One of the members we represent, Celia Ruiz, and her attendance at these meetings has been a topic of conversation at these meetings recently. That's raised a significant level of concern among our members here at the Oceano Community Services District, enough so that several of Celia's co-workers are here tonight to show their support for her. Casey Stewart is here. Jason Carlisle and Doug Sparling. So I have two points I'd like to make. You're a small organization. You have a very small staff. And therefore, every cog in that wheel is extremely important. You have to have their support, and you have to have their full devotion to their duties if you're going to succeed. And showing your appreciation to that workforce, I think, is crucially important. So first thing I'm going to ask is I hope that in the future you will try not to cause similar concerns among our membership, and you'll show your staff that you appreciate them and not challenge them at public meetings. Second, we represent 25 organizations within that space. At every single organization, some member of staff take notes and fulfills the same duties that Celia performs here. And not one organization does the general manager, the city manager, anyone of that level perform that duty. I think their full attention is necessary to attend to the business of the governmental entity, and it's inappropriate to consider that they would have to perform that function. I've been doing labor relations for over 40 years, and through that time I've represented employees, law enforcement organizations, firefighters, every kind of public employee you can imagine, and in every single governmental entity, some staff person performed this duty, never the executive director, general manager, city manager. So I hope you'll consider that, and in the future, show appreciation and support for the outstanding workforce that you're lucky to have and I'm honored to represent. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I just want to let you know that I am a little bit alarmed by the representation that was just made, because I've been at the last couple meetings and I heard discussion about Celia Ruiz. I don't think there was any criticism of her work or her ability to do the job. I think cost-saving efforts for the district were thrown out, one of them being the general manager cutting you all down to one meeting a month for $27,000 worth of savings per year. I think the suggestion that he do what's in his job description by being the secretary of the board, and I have seen general managers take minutes for meetings. Maybe you haven't, but I can actually think of an agency you represent where I've seen it done not that long ago. The general manager certainly can take minutes. The idea is simply to free up that overtime for the ratepayers. 3 hours every 2 weeks, Celia not being at a meeting. It was a suggestion. It wasn't my suggestion, but it was a topic that came up. No one, and Celia, I appreciate your work, no one was criticizing your ability to do your job. If that suggestion doesn't fly with your board, then it doesn't. But that doesn't mean that the public, who has the right to criticize or compliment or question everything that goes on in this district, doesn't mean that they can't do that. They can. They absolutely can. The Brown Act, which is state law, gives us that right. So, and if I'm wrong, I would ask Mr. Minery to let me know that I'm wrong, that the Brown Act does apply, does allow the public to criticize staff. But I didn't hear criticism of Celia Ruiz. I think the criticism was of Mr. Clemens, in that he objects to taking minutes at a meeting, which he certainly is capable of doing.
Any other public comment? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, then I'll bring it back to the board, and we'll do our staff.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
So where are we on e-billing and taking credit cards and online payments?
That's coming up in our goals that we're talking about tonight. The e-billing, isn't that part of the thing?
I'm just following up on that since we had a question and general public comment.
Perhaps Ms. Cassiola can just briefly comment on it.
Okay.
It is in our goals.
Yeah. We've been pursuing proposals from different vendors, and it's basically just now confirming who's compatible with our website and who can work with us and our options. So we're getting proposals and it's moving forward.
So is there a time frame that you see on that?
I mean, it depends on workload, and I would say soon, but I can't give like an exact date.
So about this year?
This year.
Great. And just to remind the public, we do accept automatic payments, so that is a service that we already provide. So
auto pay, because
so
I do that.
It's auto pay, and they can do that if they wish.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, so we'll move on now to our staff reports. We have Utility Manager Tony Maricino. They're not going to give a report. Commander Manuelli asked him to be here for the firework.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. So I read in the, I saw it somewhere about a sewer spill in Oceano. I just want to let the community know it had nothing to do with the district. It was the wastewater treatment plant that they had the spill. So if there's any information, I would direct all the calls to them. So it was not the district. So as for Lopez, it's currently at 51%. We had zero SSOs in February. All right. And then as for the past couple weeks, we had our samples, daily rounds. We had 9 work orders, 6 USAs, 8 customer service calls, 2 after-hour call-outs. One of them was for a sewer lateral on here. A company was boring to put in some communication, and they actually bored through one of our laterals. And it took about a month for it to back up. That got taken care of right away, replaced a section of it, and they took care of it. As for yesterday, we had the lift station go down, and upon arriving there, the power was out, so we had an emergency generator. I actually called out a pump truck just in case we couldn't get back online quick enough. So they assisted with pumping down the wet well. Come to find out, this has never happened in the past. A breaker on PG&E's side had tripped, which we couldn't get a reset until we figured that out. That's the first time that's ever occurred. But we also had numerous phone calls regarding flooding in Oceano. And we do not do the flooding. The county does that. I just want to let the community know that. But if there is a manhole, we did get a phone call on a manhole that was bubbling, but that was the air, because the air was coming out of the sewer because it was underneath the puddle. But I do want the community to call us if they think it is a sewer issue, and we will go and look. We had probably four or five that were all drainage issues. It had nothing to do with us. All right. We replaced a couple faucets, one in the firehouse, one here. We're continuing to do hydrant maintenance. We had to replace some slats on our fence at the yard due to graffiti, door hangers, meter changeouts. We replaced a hydrant, or a valve going to a hydrant, because of hydrant maintenance. The valve was 40-plus years old, and it broke and started leaking once we operated it. We're still continuing to do trash. We had four 311 tickets the past month. Anything else?
That's good.
All right. Thank you.
Any questions for Tony?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tony. Chief Lieberman, did you have anything to report?
Good evening, Madam President and Board. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. Just a couple of things. One is I do want to appreciate the assistance of Tony and his crew. We had our five-year review for the Insurance Service Office, or ISO. As you know, the ISO is a data clearinghouse for the insurance agency, insurance underwriters use that data to help set insurance rates. Our ISO rating 5 years ago was improved to a 3. 1 is the best, 9 is the worst. We're a 3. When you think about Class 1 fire departments, you're considering the city of Los Angeles or the city of San Francisco. So I think we have a lot to be proud of. There's actually been improvements to our water system in the five-year review, especially addition of a fire hydrants, which is very favorable in the ISO rating. Our relocation to a centralized dispatch where we're using the same radio communications as our automatic aid partners was seen very favorably. So we should see a draft report in about 4 months. But again, I do want to thank Tony because the water systems are very important data collection points for the evaluation. I would be remiss, and I know you're all sick of hearing about COVID-19, the coronavirus, but I'm very buried in planning. I am the County of San Luis Obispo agency rep for all of the fire departments in the county and working closely with the public health department. Just want everyone to be planning. I'm not going to tell you to wash your hands anymore. I know everyone's sick about hearing that. And you can't find hand sanitizer or toilet paper, apparently. But please just be very cognizant. If you don't feel well, don't go to work. Don't go to public places. Try to maintain that social distancing. If someone's coughing or sneezing, of 6 feet preferably, but a minimum of 3. And we'll just keep plugging away and chatting with you and giving you advice as the plans develop. Knock on wood, we have no diagnosed cases in San Luis Obispo County, but unfortunately we're confident that it will be here. So thank you very much. I'll entertain any questions you might have.
Questions? No. Well, thank you very much for the report. That brings us to our general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Yes. So following up with Chief Lieberman, so as a staff, we've been discussing how we can try to prevent the coronavirus from impacting our district. So what we've started doing each day is cleaning all the handles, the front counter, anything that people touch frequently, we clean each day. We clean the board chambers after each meeting, so and the seats, so that hopefully we can keep things in a clean state. As this progresses, you know, we may need to take more drastic measures. We may need to close the front door and start taking payments through the slot or the window just to maintain that social distancing, but we haven't taken that step yet. And just in general, preparing for what might happen should sickness hit us. So I've been discussing that with the other agencies. We do have mutual aid agreements so that if our staff is quarantined, hopefully we could lean on the staff from the local agencies, and we're trying to also perhaps line up some consulting firms that perform those duties as well, should the other agencies not be able to cover us. So we are working on those plans, and just wanted to let you know what we're doing along those lines. You'll find a written report form in front of you. This is for any committee meetings that you may attend, and I'll be providing some more direction on the use of these forms, but basically it's to comply with the California government code regarding CSDs and getting your reimbursement, your stipends for attendance, your compensation. This is just trying to make it easier on you to fill these out and provide those at the district meetings following those committee meetings, and I'll be giving you some direct email correspondence on further on using these forms. The North Wing Pershing project is under construction, so they began construction until the rain hit, and then they've been sidelined for the last couple days, but when the weather improves, they'll pick back up construction. Our emergency generator project is complete. We just have to get the final sign-off on the permit by the county, but the work is complete. Through the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee, we had our first meeting of the subcommittee that's working on the contract amendments. Our goal is to have those contract amendments drafted for the next Technical Advisory Committee, which is in April, at which point we'll then turn it over to the county for their review. Last week I attended the California Uniform Construction Cost Accounting Commission meeting in Sacramento, and yesterday Ms. Cassiola and myself attended a seminar put on by CSDA on Prop 218 and Prop 26, and that's in preparation for our rate increase process that we'll be implementing later this year. So trying to get up on the latest legal requirements, legal cases regarding water rates before we dive into to that effort. And I think that's the end of my report.
Okay, very good.
Questions? Yeah, will you be sending this form electronically?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, great. Slide. Take notes on my computer. I did have a question about coronavirus, though. There may be some of our customers who are impacted by this, and you know, one of the main things that they are telling everybody is wash your hands. So I know some cities like Detroit have restored service to customers who've had their water shut off, and they're suspending shutoffs until the crisis passes. So have you explored potentially doing that for our customers?
Yes, yeah, so I looked at their program. They basically are providing a, and I think the state is also involved, in providing money to cover those individuals' costs. So that's certainly something that could be implemented in our district. But I think our next round of shutoffs will occur in May, and that is after our new collection process that was mandated by I forget which bill it was. SB 998, where customers are able to develop a payment plan to avoid being shut off. So that kicks in April 1st. Our next round of shutoffs would be after that, so that they would have that opportunity to develop a payment plan if they couldn't pay. So hopefully we could avoid those shutoffs.
Okay, is there anyone who's shut off right now?
I believe there may be, yes.
That might be something to think about. You know, if there's a big push, if the state comes out and says we have to do social distancing and a lot of people have to stay home from work or school, we want to make sure people can wash their hands.
Definitely, yes. So we could look to see how many are currently shut off, but the next round, and typically if they are shut off, they pay within a day or two, is our history. But we could reach out to those individuals and see if we could develop a payment plan for them, since we are going to be implementing that soon.
That would be a good idea, I think.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Clemens. And so now we'll move down to our Board of Directors and outside committee reports. Director V is not here. Director Gibson, do you have a report?
Yes. So I attended the Water Resources Advisory Committee. First, the board talked about updates, and basically they gave updates on all things water within the county. So you learn a lot about North County or Napomo or wherever. Then we had a long discussion of the Delta Tunnel project, and the board gave a history of the project and information that lays a foundation and context for future discussions and decisions related to the district contract for the state water. And at this point, I think the Board of Supervisors will have another meeting to discuss and then at some point move forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Shirley? Okay. Vice President White, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to report on the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District. So as you all aware, there was a spill. It was a treated effluent spill. And I was notified last night by the administrator that they were working on it. And the I went over to the plant this morning to check what was going on. And what had happened was we had the heavy rain, 1.7 inches, between 4 and 5 p.m. yesterday. So for that full hour, we got 1.7 inches. And it the crew stayed on at the plant and didn't go home because of the heavy rain. They wanted to make sure everything was okay. And in their discoveries, they found a leak in the portion of our outfall that we share with Pismo Beach. And it's the outfall line right towards the end of the edge of the perimeter of the plant that goes out to the ocean. So what happened was that during that rain event, the district plant and the Pismo's plant experienced high flows from all the water and required running the pumps to force the water out of the plants. And that is what they think caused the leak. They've been working on it all day, all night. They were there 24 hours, and they're still there, and they'll be there the next 24 hours. Everyone has been notified. The city of Pismo Beach was notified by 6 p.m. last night. The district deployed containment and pumping to capture the treated water and return it to the plant. Environmental Health was notified. The city of Arroyo Grande came and assisted with backhoe. A third-party contractor arrived at 9:30. And Public Works was notified, and they assisted with a repair band. And let's see, so the pipe is now exposed and the leak is only active when the pumps run, but they haven't been having to run the pumps. And the normal flows do not require pumping, so everything is running like all day. It ran very well. It appears as if grouting from a slip-lined pipe may have failed. So the report's been made to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and they're hoping to have it all repaired by tomorrow. And the containment is working well, and no water is leaving the site, nor is it likely. So everything is working as good as it can be, and they'll be working on it until it's fixed. So that was on that. And then our regular meeting last Wednesday, I'll just give a quick, because I know we were supposed to consider our second quarter budget adjustments, but we're bringing it back. And we went through our district goals and priorities, which we'll be doing here tonight, too. So we went through that. And, of course, the first one is the infrastructure reliability and the redundancy program constructed. And that is expected to be completed in the winter of 2022. And then our five-year capital improvement program is one of the next important things. And a preventative thing, we maintain 9 miles of sanitary sewer trunk mains. So as the system ages, there's cracks, root intrusion, and fats and oils and grease. So the preventative routine inspection and cleaning program for the mains is one of the they intend to inspect all 9 miles and complete all the necessary repairs identified. And that'll be starting the summer of 2020. And then moving into 2020, there's plans to transition to an electronic office. The documents for the district date back to 64, so all the files are stored on site in a big container. So the big plan is to preserve them digitizing. And the phone system is antiquated, and that's going on right now, a new phone system. The website's going on, a new overhaul of the website. Oh, another kind of an exciting thing is the beneficial reuse of digester gas. And so the district generates methane gas as part of the digestion of the materials. So the gas that is produced is combusted upon release. So there's opportunities to improve the quality of the gas and use it to generate power and heat that could offset electricity and natural gas respectively. So the district is now investigating the feasibility of repairing or replacing infrastructure that would allow for the beneficial reuse of the methane gas. There's a co-generator piece of equipment at the plant that they're going to be looking at. And they're going to do the initial study right now on how we can do that, but that would be a big saving of money for utilities if we could get the methane gas, digester gas, reused. And I guess that's all the main stuff. Is there any questions on the spill or anything?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't catch what you said failed on the pipe that caused the spill.
It was the outfall line. Mm-hmm.
The grout failed?
On the lining and inside the pipe.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, we'll move on to our
public comments.
Well, yeah. Any public comments on outside committee reports?
You skipped over the sheriff.
No, he told me they weren't giving a report tonight. I did not skip them. Well, did you want to give a report? Because when you came in, I'm sorry, I thought you said you did not, that Commander Manuel, I didn't have one prepared for you.
And Madam President, you are 100% correct. Just to avoid any confusion, I have no report for you today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Just want to make sure he had his turn. Julie Tacker, your general manager said that there's a form on your desk. Is that form available for the public? Because I didn't see it, and I'd like to read it. So if you could make it available. That would be terrific.
Thank you. She can have mine.
Anybody else want to see it? I'll hear of that.
Hi, Mary Luciano, and I wanted to ask you about the sanitation district, and I know that the more affluent communities like Avila just had a very large spill. I think it was 25,000 gallons of raw sewage. And so I'm wondering, is there some way that people communicate with each other? Because that changes if we have, you know, a mild spill or a medium spill or whatever size spill, and they have a spill 3 miles up the coast, right? Is there some way to document, you know, what the toxicities in the water really are? Because, you know, people might not do a lot of fishing right now, but I know that a lot of people are surfing and stuff, so, because the waves are so good.
Well, I'm sure, you know, they post all the waters, and they're tested, I know, every day, two or three times
okay,
a day.
Okay, but did they maybe, you know, maybe they could somehow do a graph that shows the levels in Avila, which is, if it wasn't so close together, I wouldn't be so concerned because it would become diluted, you know. But when you have multiple spills in one small area, it does change the bacteria levels in the water.
Right.
You know, so it's just thought.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that has any public comment? Okay. All right. Seeing none, then we will move on to our consent agenda. So the consent agenda, we have the minutes from February 26th, cash disbursements, a letter in opposition of proposed legislation, and the general auto liability insurance coverage for 2020 and authorize the payment for that. So is there anything anyone wants to?
I would like to pull items 7C and 7D.
7C and D. Okay. So is there any public comment on the consent agenda?
So right now I'm going to speak to item 7.
A and B. A and B, we'll do these separate, yeah.
Okay. So 7B, the approval of cash disbursements. I was just going to raise the question about committee member written reports, and this form kind of addresses it. That is, state law requires that you submit a report in order to get your compensation and for attending that meeting. So I didn't hear, I know that Mr. Minery was going to come back and report on that and clarify whether or not that was actual law, which I know it to be. But I guess it then raises the question, has the board members not been doing written reports? And if not, why not? And how far back are you going to require that they do them in order to be in compliance with state law? Thank you.
Any other public comment on item 7A and B? Okay.
Madam President, perhaps Mr. Minery could explain about the law, what you told me about the written reports.
So when it comes down to essentially what we're talking about is compensation for various board meetings, as your board discussed at the last meeting, and government code does have a provision requiring written reports for compensated meetings. Your board is also a water district. The water code does not require written reports for compensated meetings. So I think that the question then becomes, are you being compensated under the water code or under the government code? And there's all sorts of different rules in there. So I think what your board ought to really consider is, what do you think is best practices? And I do notice that every time I see your board members come and report out after committees, you're always reading off of notes that you've created. I've never seen a board member not. So I don't think there's a requirement of submission to the public of notes, but I think that I do see your board generally has been in compliance with creating written notes. So,
hey, thank you. Okay. So anybody want to make a motion on the minutes or the cash disbursements?
You make a motion. We approve consent agenda items A and consent agenda items B as amended.
Second.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Apogle?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that'll take us to item 7C, and that is the letter in opposition to proposed legislation. So,
So this is a letter that would oppose AB 2093, which would require all public records transmitted via email to be retained for at least 2 years. The bill was inspired by investigative reporting by Voice of San Diego, which found some cities were deleting email records under the two-year requirement prescribed in the California Public Records Act. I'm reading from Assemblymember Gloria's website, his press release on this. One municipality received criticism for its email retention policy that allowed city officials to delete emails after just 30 days. The cities argued current law is ambiguous on electronic and email records. AB 2093 would clarify that emails and other electronic public records are subject to the CPRA's retention standard, thereby establishing the two-year standard statewide for all public agencies. So this is a transparency bill, and it just says that emails and electronic records are treated the same as all other sort of records, including hard copy documents. And I frankly don't see why we would be opposed to this. Electronic storage, hard drives, capacity is very inexpensive nowadays. It's not that hard to search through emails. It's certainly less burdensome than searching through a stack of printed documents. So I would oppose filing a letter saying that we object to this law because I think it's a good law that promotes transparency so the public can go back and look at what we've done in our email correspondence.
Okay. Did you have a report on this, Will? Did you want to give a report?
I mean, there's a written staff report with this item. This bill is exactly the same as Assembly Bill 1184 that was submitted last year. The governor vetoed that bill, and this was his statement. He says, "I'm returning Assembly Bill 1184, which is the same as Assembly Bill 2093 this year, without my signature. This bill would require state and local public agencies to retain every public record transmitted by email for at least 2 years. This bill does not strike the appropriate balance between the benefits of greater transparency through the public's access to public records and the burdens of a dramatic increase in records retention requirements." So he vetoed this bill last year. This would require agencies to maintain all their spam emails that we get, and then we would have to sift through those. So the recommendation is that we send this letter of opposition. You know, if it gets passed again, will the governor veto it? You know, it's up to your board whether you want to submit this letter or not, but that's why it's being recommended by the California Special Districts Association that we oppose this bill.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I've got to push back on that. You'd have to keep every spam message. Do you keep junk mail that comes through the door now, like hard copy junk mail, advertising flyers? It's the same sort of thing. I don't think you're required by the CPRA to keep junk mail, and I don't see why you'd be required to keep spam either. It's very likely that just gets filtered out anyway and automatically deleted.
That's why I think you vetoed this bill last year, because it would require that.
So, yeah, and this...
I don't think it does require that, no. No, I'm done.
Anyone else have anything?
I agree with the governor. there's cost of maintenance and more staff time, which we don't have, and the same thing about junk email.
And it came up about transparency, and this bill does not create greater transparency. It's simply a data retention bill, and many agencies will likely need to hire additional staff to respond to California public record requests in order to review and filter through all the additional email agencies are maintaining, lengthen response times for the public records requests. It just sounds like a costly nightmare, and I don't think we need to do this, and I support the letter in opposition to this legislation. So is there anybody else want to say anything? Public comment on 7C?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would oppose sending a letter of opposition. Number one, your general manager doesn't provide the bill for you in your staff report. I think you should actually read the bill yourselves, make it available to the public so that they're informed. But similar to your comments from Ms. Replogle, this is the age. This is the information age, the technology age. We have gigabytes, megabytes, terabytes. We have clouds. We have so many ways to store things. It doesn't make sense to delete them. As for culling them or finding something that someone's asking for, the search window, it's not that hard. Keywords, all those things we're familiar with, it's not that difficult. I would ask you to actually bring it back. Get the bill in front of you, because you haven't read it. Some of you have not read it. Most of you have not read it. Bring it back and consider supporting the bill. Supporting the bill. Send a letter to CSDA and tell them they should support the bill. Stand up for transparency and for the public's right and access to information.
Is there any other public comment?
Mary Lucy Oceano. First of all, I don't even know why you guys would take a position on this bill. It's kind of, you know, everybody's impacted in government, so I don't even understand why you even brought it here. And secondly is that in the long run, I think it'll be more cost-effective. You know, I don't know if any of you guys have looked at the fiscal impact of this bill, you know, but I don't see, you know, lines and lines of people who are going to flood the offices wanting public records requests. You know, the flow is going to be the same as it always is. To invest in maybe extra staff to do the data entries, well, you know what? That's going to save staff time on the phone. It's going to save staff time digging through old, dusty files. So I really see it as a cost-effective thing, but I don't even know why you guys are taking it up.
Okay, is there anyone else? All right, seeing none, we'll bring it back.
I just have one question. What's the district's current retention policy for emails?
I don't believe the district has a retention policy, or do we?
We do, yeah.
Yeah, we have one. Right now, we treat emails the same as we would treat a hard document, and there's a whole policy, I believe it was adopted in 2015, that we've been working with, especially down at the old fire station, on how to get rid of things properly and how you document getting rid of things based on what it's classified as. And it's all linked up. I can email it to all of you if you need it.
Yeah, I'd like to see
it.
Yeah,
of course.
So you treat them the same as hard copies, and the CPRA says there's a two-year, you need to keep things for 2 years if they're hard copy. So is that being applied to emails now anyway?
I would say we keep emails the same as we keep the hard copies, based on what they're classified as. And most of them are based off audit years, and I would say most of them are well over 2 years.
So, President Austin, if I might interject, your board, I think, Carrie may be right, 2015, we put together a very comprehensive document retention and destruction policy, because what happens with agencies like yours is that you end up getting stuck, saddled with too many documents that then nobody knows how to get rid of them, and so you end up with boxes and boxes and boxes. So you have a comprehensive policy. I can't tell you off the top of my head what all of them are, because it's different number of years for what type of document it is and whatever form it is, but we can certainly provide you with that, and it's actually quite easy to read. It's a little more difficult to figure out what you're looking at sometimes and figure out what to do with it, but it's, you have a good policy, so I we'll send you a copy.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. So if this law was to pass, it seems like there might be no practical effect on our district, because we're already retaining emails for at least 2 years, from what you said. Is that right?
I would say, based off what the records retention says, off, it's based off audit years, and I would say, yeah, more than 2 years is usually the policy for each type of document. Like, I think that's what I was trying to say. Each type of document has its own. I can't say it's 2 years.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, we can just decide not to send this and just ignore the whole thing. Things were already covered.
Well, are we, though? This is, I don't think we would. I think everybody has the records retention schedule. This is adding more, right?
Right.
This legislation makes it
this
much
would
more.
Be adding
right
additional retention to what we already do.
Because
currently I delete spam that I get, but this could require it.
I make a motion that we pass 7C on the consent agenda.
Second.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Rapogal?
No.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that takes care of 7C, the liability insurance, auto general liability insurance. You wanted that one pulled?
Yeah.
Okay.
So down on page 23.
Which page?
23. It says, our terms do not include coverage for a volunteer program for cleaning up of alleys and parks for the district. This coverage will be afforded for an additional $400 in premium. So I was wondering if that's something that the board would want to consider adding, because I think we do have community groups that go out and do cleanups in the community, and that's something that I feel we ought to be encouraging. And it's important to have the insurance coverage for that.
That was the question I called today to ask about this. So I wonder, can you explain that if we don't have it now?
Yeah, so as it's noted, we don't have it, but if you were to add $400 to what we have, we would still be under budget. So
it seems like a small expense to be able to actively encourage communities,
absolutely,
groups to
I
do
agree.
Cleanups.
Yeah.
So question. Would that be a volunteer program that we sponsor, a volunteer program from any group?
Kind of what we're already doing, right? Cleaning up the alleys?
Well, but why would we be covering? I don't think we could cover an organization that we don't have any nexus with. That's giving away our money.
Would it need to be like our volunteer program?
Our volunteers would only
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
But then, you know, community groups could come and supply volunteers for the volunteer program, I would think.
But we don't have a volunteer program that we sponsor, do we?
We've been...
Not
do we have a
not,
volunteer program
not at the
we
present
sponsor?
Time.
So we would just need to make sure that the language when the policy is written specifies... it's for district-sponsored volunteer programs.
Is this
Do we
something
sponsor
we should
programs now?
Wait until we have a program and then add it, or is it best to just do it now? Because I do think that we need to have insurance for volunteers, district volunteers.
So I guess one way to deal with this would be to provide direction that we give us the option to cover volunteer programs that we run.
Okay.
Currently, I'm not sure if we have any volunteer programs.
In the past, we've just had groups come in that are, I know the Oceano Beach Community Association has come in. That's been the only one so far, and they were the volunteer group, and they filled out the application and everything. But nothing based off our own volunteers. It was a group.
Okay, so we'll just give the direction like what you just said.
With the option of adding this. To our insurance, yeah, that would be.
At the risk of throwing a monkey wrench into this, unless we have a volunteer program that exists or we put together by staff, I don't understand how you can cover groups that just come in and want to clean up, because I think that would be giving away our money. I'm just, it's a technical thing. I'm just questioning it again.
That's true.
Yeah. Maybe we could table this for a while.
I think that probably there's some unknowns here because we're not insurance underwriters and we don't have one here. So my suggestion would be that you give direction to your general manager to the extent is reasonable cost to insure groups as is reasonable and necessary.
Okay. Yeah. I have nothing against doing it. I would support doing it, but I'm just asking some questions.
I think if a group, the already formed group, comes, I think they should have their own insurance. But if it's a group that we, like if Tony has a volunteer group that comes here for the district, then they would be covered under ours. But I wouldn't want the district to cover other groups that should have their own.
I know sometimes just a neighborhood will get together and do an alley cleanup, you know, just the people who live there, so it'd be...
Yeah, that happens, but I think we'll go with what you said. Is there any public comment on this?
I had one other thing on page 28.
Which page?
28. It says flood and earthquake coverages are excluded. I understand earthquake coverage being excluded because it's really expensive and hardly anybody gets that, but... Shouldn't we have flood coverage? I was just wondering about that.
Why? I think this question came up last year, and based off where we're all located, we're above it. Based off of the, what street is that, 13th? We're above it on the firehouse.
So yesterday with all that rain, there wasn't any issue here?
Not to the firehouse. We were okay. Or the old firehouse, not this one, down the street.
Okay. Right, that's all I had.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item on the insurance? Okay, seeing none, then we'll bring it back. And somebody want to make a motion then?
So are we continuing this?
No, we're going to approve with the recommendation, I believe, that the direction to the staff. Somebody want to make a motion?
I shall move.
Second.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President Wait?
Yes.
Director Repogle?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, so we're done with number 7, and that'll bring us to our business items. So thank you all for waiting patiently through that. And the first item will be our review and consideration of District Code 1510, the sale of fireworks. So do we have a staff report on that?
So this is a direction from your board from last month. You wanted to put our district code that authorizes the sale of safe and sane fireworks on the agenda for discussion and any direction that your board would seem appropriate on that ordinance. So this is the opportunity to hear from the public and your board on whether we need to make any changes to the ordinance or whatever you might deem necessary.
Okay. Did we have any?
Well, I had a video that I wanted to show. of smoke and litter from fireworks last year. We could
okay, so are you
run that.
Someone going to operate the video? Can we get the lights down a little bit, please, so we can see? Thank you.
So even the Safe and Sane fireworks put off a lot of smoke, and the smoke from those is at ground level, so it can get pretty thick. This is Paso Robles Street, which was blocked off at 24th Street. And I think this is a Safe and Sane firework because it's not going up in the air, but you can see that it's putting out a lot of smoke. You know, all the smoke it makes me cough, and I know people who have asthma and breathing issues have a lot of trouble around the 4th of July as well. Those are the illegal ones, of course. Now, this is in here because when the vehicles approach, you can really see the smoke in the headlights, and there's a guy there blocking traffic. And this is the day after, so there's fireworks litter all over the streets of Oceano. I think that's it.
Can we get the lights on, please? Thank you.
So, the Sheriff's Commander Manuele has been working on this issue, and he came to an Oceano Beach Community Association meeting a few weeks ago and made a statement that the fact that we have Safe and Sane fireworks available in the community makes it harder for the sheriff to enforce the ban on illegal fireworks. There are definitely other ways for nonprofits to make money. I've been volunteering with Surfrider Foundation for more than 15 years. We've never sold fireworks, and we make money in lots of different ways by having events, you know, art events, or you know, we have people come out to movie nights. I know other organizations have bake sales. There's plenty of other ways to make money as a nonprofit besides selling fireworks. And I also found, in conjunction with a state law, an analysis by the legislative analyst saying that although an argument can be made that allowing the sale of fireworks curbs the sale of illegal fireworks, data from the fire marshal's office seems to contradict that point. According to the fire marshal, the seizures of illegal fireworks usually begin around March with an increase in seizures towards the 4th of July period of the year. If legal fireworks sales truly curb the sale of illegal fireworks, then why does the number of illegal fireworks being seized increase dramatically during the 4th of July period? There are many, many reasons I could go on, but I think it's time to move beyond the Wild West attitude that we have here in Oceano and rein it in for the health of people who need to be able to breathe clean air, for the health of our environment, so that we don't have all this toxic litter around everywhere, and also for the sanity of our animals. My cats and dog just freak out, and I know a lot of other people's animals freak out too when all these explosions are going off. So I would propose that we do not allow the sale of fireworks in Oceano this year or going forward.
All right. Anyone else have anything before we open public comment?
I would just say that if we ban fireworks this year in Oceano, what's going to stop people from not going to Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande and buying them?
Maybe they'll reconsider as well.
And my question is, what would change if we stopped selling fireworks?
I don't think anything would change if you...
Okay, I know. So that the reason this was on here is to consider changes, or to actually, you want to actually ban the sale of safe and sane fireworks in Oceano?
Well, the ordinance that we're looking at allows for the sale of fireworks and granting permits to some organizations in order to do that. So what I'm proposing is that we...
I know you mentioned that there's other ways to make money, but I know we, for the depot, we sold fireworks for, gosh, it must have been over 20 years, and that was the only money maker we ever made. And I know the hard work that it entails for the nonprofits to run those firework booths. And it just shows it that the people that sell these fireworks, they're committed to the community and to the families in this community. And to come out here now and say we want to ban the sale of fireworks in March, April, May, 4 months before when everything's already set up, I don't know. We have the fire chief here. Maybe has there been any big problems in Oceano due to safe and sane fireworks? The only problem you'll have if you ban these is you will just have illegal fireworks. And all these families and people will lose out. And it's like the American, it's America, 4th of July. And, it's a tradition. Families get together. You can see that whole group there was nothing but families and having a good time on the 4th of July. And I just have no desire whatsoever to even think about banning the sale of safe and sane in our community. So is there any...
Well, I have two dogs, and they hate it too. But the issue is, it's the illegal fireworks that are doing the most damage. They fire off those mortars or whatever they are. And this isn't going to solve that problem.
Yeah, my dogs don't like them either, but, we take care of that. It's an American tradition, and I don't want to see, we've gotten so many of our things taken away. Why would we want to take another thing away from the kids in this community that we've lost so much freedoms? So that's my thoughts. And I'm sorry, I asked you if there have been any problems in Oceano with any of the vendors or any of the fireworks, that safe and sane fireworks that you can think of?
Good evening, Steve Lieberman. With the exception of the anomaly year of 2018, where we had a structure fire in Grover Beach on the evening of 4th of July, mm-hmm. We haven't had any evidence and data that's shown a spike for the period. Mm-hmm. Again, to be fully open with the board, that doesn't mean that people potentially aren't getting hurt with the fireworks, but they're self-transporting to the hospital in certain cases. But again, we don't up staff, we don't bring in people on overtime, and we haven't seen significant incidents.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me.
She has a question.
I had a question. So the ordinance says in section 15.10.030, the fire chief shall undertake an investigation and submit a report. I'm sorry, this is on page 37. The fire chief shall undertake an investigation and submit a report of his or her findings and recommendations concerning the issuance of the permit, together with the reasons therefore, to the board of directors. Have you submitted those investigations?
So as you can see by the dates of those resolutions and ordinances, it's prior to the formation of the Five Cities Fire Authority. These ordinances hadn't been modified since the formation. Staff is providing the selection, the booth locations, and we're doing the final inspections to allow them to sell the fireworks.
But have you provided these reports to the board before?
Again, this ordinance was written prior to the formation of the Five Cities Fire Authority. So other than booth inspections to allow them to actually sell the fireworks, we are given the names of the nonprofits and the locations where they will be by staff.
Okay, so that's all you've ever done?
Yes.
What about violations that are discussed on page 38 in 15.10.080? There's a list of violations. Have you ever cited anyone for any of those violations? Or?
So the only citation a fire department would be able to provide would be an administrative citation, and perhaps the Oceano Fire Department at that time was doing that. The Five Cities Fire Authority does not issue administrative citations. Typically, these investigations are handled by law enforcement.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like large parts of this ordinance are out of date and not being enforced.
That's something we can take up at a later time, I would imagine.
We're talking about the ordinance tonight, though.
Tonight. Why don't we have public comment now? Okay. Let's do public comment.
I'm Esther Myers from the Open Door Preschool of Oceano, and I can't tell you what how selling the fireworks the last few years has done for us, because we tried bake sales. We tried a major garage sale. We tried the barbecue and stuff. We were really in shock, basically, when we decided to redo our play structure, because we've always built it ourselves, but we wanted to be like everybody else, and we were shocked when we got the prices from the different companies. It was like $75,000 and what ridiculous amounts of money. And so we finally did get one and been able to do so many things at the preschool because of the fireworks sales. Because when you sell See's candy once a year, you maybe make $1,000, but it doesn't go very far when we had to put a little deck and steps in that cost $1,500 in prefab wood or what have you. And we don't have the parents that are rich and famous, and we don't have the big church. Our church is very small, and our preschool is very small, and we've been there for 38 years. I've lived in Oceano since 1978, and I've lived in the Five Cities area since 1960. Grew up here. And so I have a paperwork, some of my parents, former parents, former students, and a picture of what we've been able to do this last year just because of the fireworks booth.
Hi, my name is Larry Brewer, and I have lived in this community all my life, and I was actually in the video. It's not a good thing to admit to. It's okay. She only seen me lighting a safe and sane firework off. But what I would like to tell you is that video that was being shown there was actually a support for all the churches in the community, all the 12-step programs in the community, where I throw a barbecue party to allow a safe place for people to be without all the temptations of alcohol and drugs and Pismo and other places where they put on the shows at. And so the other thing is that this video was aired and blogged, I believe, by Cynthia on some other areas, that there was comments made with it calling me and my friends and the associates that I was with, calling us Yahoo redneck or drunken Yahoo rednecks. And I take offense and on being profiled and said to things like that because I put great proudness in my sobriety. Been clean and sober for 23 years. I'm not a redneck either, and I'm not a Yahoo. And so the other thing is that I just bought a house 9 months ago in Oceano. And there was many decisions where I was looking everywhere to buy a house. But one thing I liked was the security that I feel from the fire department in this area, the security that I feel from the sheriffs in this area, and also the freedom that I get by living in Oceano. That they don't hound me, you don't hound me. I love the board, I support the board and their decisions, and it's really, really nice to have some place that I could celebrate the freedom that we have in the United States. And also, I also do it to celebrate all the people that have fought for our freedom of this country, you know, and including family members and everybody that is now. And so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have a comment?
Good evening again. My name is still April. I wanted to address, there's definitely a difference, as Ms. Gibson pointed out, between the illegal fireworks and the legal ones. And if we could get the illegal ones enforced, then I would wholeheartedly support the legal ones. But when the sheriff person in charge of this area said himself at a meeting not too long ago, within the last month, to me and some other people, that his suggestion is we do away with the legal fireworks because it's almost impossible to enforce when you have this mixed bag of fireworks in the community. So he himself said it's really hard to go after the illegal fireworks when we have legal fireworks. So if law enforcement's telling us that this would be a good idea, you know, that may be something to listen to if you don't want to listen to the actual residents. The other thing that I can say is it would be hard to provide a report of enforcement when the residents call and no one ever comes out. So that's a big concern. How can you have any kind of report? I'm sure the call list shows that it happens again and again and again. But there's no one out there actually enforcing it. And in fact, where I live, John Boyce Towing has a whole show of illegal fireworks, and Cal Fire sits out there parked in their vehicle and chats with them during the show. So, you know, if you guys aren't going to be our voice and you're just going to speak up for others that aren't even here, then it's concerning. We all need to be represented, not just your friends or the people you've known for 15 years. We all live here together. So if we could come up with a compromise, that'd be a lot better. And again, to go back to enforcement, you have ordinances that your law enforcement officers don't even follow. And if they've known they didn't have to follow it, why don't you guys know that? They're your ordinances. If they're that out of date, when I do a public records request and the officer tells me I have nothing to tell you because I don't do that job. Well, it's your job to make sure they do their jobs. So please, could you fix these loopholes? Thank you.
Anyone else have any public comments?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And on June 25th, 2019, so less than a year ago, Fire Chief Scott Jalbert, Linda, you might want to read along. He declared that
all fireworks and sky lanterns are banned by ordinance and are illegal to use, sell, or possess in San Luis Obispo County unless otherwise permitted. Turn the page. I know what some longtime Oceano residents are going to say is that our ordinance doesn't conform or comply with the county ordinance, where the health and safety code is state law, and it says in section B of 12541.1B, only the ordinance or regulation adopted by the county or city shall be operative in that area of a special district. So this trumps Oceano's ordinance. I've heard many times that you can shoot fireworks, safe and sane fireworks, in Oceano all year long. Not since June 25th, 2019, because the county has adopted an ordinance that prohibits the sale and the use of fireworks throughout the county, and that includes Oceano. I've also included in my handout the municipal code from the county that refers to fireworks, and again to the health and safety code. And I believe this conversation that you're having about maybe shaping your ordinance could go on, but next month when you actually issue these permits for the people that I do, I respect that they want to raise money for their good causes. There's no question there. But that you should probably put it on an abeyance until the county fire chief lifts the ordinance, and you can be part of that conversation. In light of all of the fires, Oakland, Redding, Paradise, Santa Barbara, Ventura, thousands and thousands of people's lives have been affected by fire in recent years. Why dig your heels in and say that just because it's always happened in Oceano, it has to continue? Why would you do that?
Any other public comments?
Mary Lucy Oceano, you know, I have to agree with the gentleman. I think that, you know, it's not so much about what's legal and what's not legal. You know, this is about a time when a community comes together and we celebrate. And you could see in the video people picking up, you know, shot off, spent, you know, casings and stuff like that. Everybody's in a safe distance, but because people self-police themselves. This is their family, their friends, their neighbors. My neighborhood, you know, shuts down too. So what that tells me is that it's culturally incompetent to take away one of the small areas that has this left, this activity that we can celebrate and not feel so tied up. You know, Oceano's going through changes right now. We're fighting to stop, to slow down the gentrification. Because what gentrification does is it creates homelessness and it drives families out of their homes, multiple generations. It raises rents so only elite can handle it. You know, it's not a good thing, and it's happened across this country. And Oceano is now right there at the doorsteps of gentrification, or holding what few, you know, liberties we have left. And I, you know, I have a dog too, you know, and you know, it's just the nature of the beast, you know. He gets his meds on the 4th, and you know, and usually pretty much everybody's wrapped up by midnight, you know. And I live on Beach Street. I mean, that sucker's smoking, you know, so everybody's having a good time. There's not fist fights. There's not, you know, drunken brawls out in the street. And, you know, and people aren't worried about, you know, schlepping down to Pismo to see the fireworks. Because we can still do it at home here for a little bit.
You know, we're the last generation. That's it. You know, this is the last right that we kind of have left. You know, so I would strongly, strongly encourage you to stay loyal to the nonprofits that have continually served this community. This board has screened them to make sure they provide services in the community of Oceano. Every single one of them does. There's a cap on how many can be sold so people can profit. And I think you do have good policies. And plus, we have not had a fire in this town in the last 50 years.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any other public comment?
Madam President of the Board, my name is Louis Linney. I am incognito here. I work for TNT Fireworks. I appreciate the opportunity. Want to let you know a couple things. First off is we realize that the ability to sell fireworks in any community in the state of California is a privilege, not a right. So on behalf of the four organizations that we service, thank you for your past on that. We obviously hope that that continues. I also kind of want to compliment the gentleman in the video, because that was probably the best organized illegal fireworks display I've ever seen, where they close off the board, close off the streets, and have the kids out there. I also did want to point out one other thing that one other person did mention. I think it was Director Gibson, that says that fundraising is one aspect of the program that we provide, but we do also believe that there are some other important things, including the sense of family, the sense of country, and the ability to celebrate the 4th of July. My purpose in coming here tonight was more just to learn as to what was going on in your community. I appreciate that opportunity. If you have any questions from an industry perspective, I'm ready and available. Thank you.
Thank you.
President Austin, if I might, I just want to point out one.
I can't. No, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I just want to point out in the information that was provided by Ms. Tacker, if you look at Slo County Municipal Code 6.32.015, it does accept from regulations community services districts and does provide the authority of your board and your district to authorize safe and sane fireworks for sale. So I just want to point that out so that that's not lost.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you.
Excuse me, what about the health and safety code section B up there that's highlighted?
Hey, excuse me.
Sorry. Director Plogle, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, the health and safety code section B that's highlighted on that same side. Does that say that the county ordinance preempts?
No.
I mean, this...
Yes, I think that what this is saying, though, is that this doesn't apply to special districts.
Oh, okay.
That's what it says. And then I think someone made a mention that was outdated and old. Well, what it says here was originally adopted in 1991, but it has been updated and gone through almost like every year since then, because I remember being here at meetings every year for the fireworks, and it's gone from everybody could have one to we've worked every year to try to make it work better, like cutting down the number of booths, and then also each applicant is charged a fee of $385 that they pay to do it, and then a cleanup deposit of $500, and they're screened. The fire department inspects the booths and everything, so I just want to make it clear that we've looked at this since 1991, every year. Excuse me.
I was looking for the reference to Five Cities Fire Authority.
Excuse me, I'm not talking. You're not at the podium, so please. Deputy, would you like to come on up, please?
Senior Deputy Wyatt with the Sheriff's Office. I'm very grateful for a chance to talk with you today. I'll keep my remarks very brief. This is obviously a very important topic. It's divisive, and I don't want to diminish the importance or serve as a divisive factor any further in it. I do want to say that the Sheriff's Office has no official position on whether there are to be vendors or the use of safe and sane fireworks in this community. We're here to uphold the law and make sure people are safe. I have worked July 4th in this area several years. There is quite a bit of festivities. There are fireworks pretty much everywhere you go. The sheer quantity of it, as has been remarked about earlier, makes it very hard for any sort of enforcement application of the law. I also want to make a reminder that most of these laws are misdemeanors. Misdemeanors are things that I have a very hard time enforcing because I actually have to see them happen, right? So I'm not exactly sure what the hopes of some of the people that are concerned about this are, but it is very difficult to enforce so many people doing so many different things in so many different areas. I do know that we have been talking about it. I know that since people are concerned, we want to help alleviate some of that concern. I don't know exactly what form that's going to be in, but if it's any consolation or of any help to anyone that is concerned, we are aware that there are concerns, and we are trying to actively take some steps to mitigate those. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Just have one quick question. Yes. Is blocking off a county road also a misdemeanor?
It depends on if there's a license, and that would be a great question
on
for
the
county
video.
Code enforcement. Again, that would be a great question for county code enforcement. I have never been able to drive a vehicle down the street, and oftentimes by the time a patrol car is in the area, the situation is resolved. I've never had that concern where it's been blocked. I don't think people are going to block maybe a patrol car, but that's my experience. Are there any other questions?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Anyone else have public comments? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll bring it back.
I don't see any reason to change ours as long as Grover and Arroyo are selling. All the people in Oceano just go 2 miles, buy what they want.
I also don't see a point in beginning to create some kind of laws or ordinances or controls that can't be enforced. I live in an area where I really don't see Oceano's fireworks, but I surely see all the illegal fireworks going off in Arroyo Grande, going off out in the field areas. I know they were blasting off bottle rockets last year in downtown Arroyo Grande. Talk about a little fire threat. You go to Pismo Beach, it's against the law to blast off any kind of fireworks in Pismo Beach. You sit up on the Pismo Heights and you watch an incredible show that has nothing to do with the pier. You look at the beach, there's no fireworks allowed on the beach. The beach is full of fireworks. We had people complaining about off the strand with the fireworks in front of their house. California State, a long time ago, made a law. You could only drive 55 miles an hour. Okay. Nobody paid any attention to the law. The state of California had to change the law because nobody paid any attention to it. I think fireworks in this time are the same situation. There's absolutely no point in Oceano, the smallest part of the community, trying to stop things that are going to happen anyway. We're just going to be looked on with ridicule. So I am not going to support any changes in sale of safe and sane fireworks in Oceano. Not when they can go to Grover Beach. You can almost walk that far to buy them.
Also, we need to support all the charities and support our local people. And, you know, there are people, you know, there are issues with smoke and debris and whatever, but there are a whole lot of people out there that enjoy the fireworks, and it's party will travel.
I have a question for legal counsel. So the sections of this ordinance that are not being followed, like the fire chief shall undertake an investigation and submit a report, and really the whole section on violations. Should those be stricken or revised to be up to the current situation?
Well, don't.
I think that to the extent revisions are necessary, probably they should be addressed at a time when your board decides to bring those types of issues back to conform with your current policies. So if necessary, we'll do that.
I have a question. It seems to me this says the fire chief shall the investigation has to do with the issuance of the permits, and I think that's already done.
It's my understanding that that the fire chief does comply with
this is being done
substantive portion of the statute. So
because they go out
the ordinance. So to the extent there's outdated areas, we'll address it when it's brought up by your board.
Okay. Excuse me. We're discussing up here now. The public comment's over.
I had just one other thing. It seems like the board intends to go forward with this. Could these organizations that are benefiting off of the sales of fireworks be responsible for some of the cleanup of the mess that's left on our streets on the day after?
The mess is pretty much cleaned up. I mean, maybe it's not right immediately that next morning, but I know it's cleaned up by the
it's not
the
been what I've observed. Okay. I mean, I understand that the permit requires them to clean up around their stands, but I'm saying, the broader issue of fireworks litter generally in the community.
I think they have enough restrictions and pay enough and work hard enough. I think that the residents should be held responsible to clean up after themselves. And that should be something that we should put out on the maybe in our water bill at that time, the reminder, 4th of July, to clean up after yourself. I don't see any reason why that not put some more onto the people that sell the fireworks.
You can't guarantee where the fireworks come from either.
Yeah. Come up to the podium, please.
We closed public
comments over, so I'm sorry. I have to go by the...
I just wanted to tell you that...
public comments over. I'm sorry. I can't. And if I can't get the person in the back of the room to stop monitoring everything I say and do and let me run this meeting, I would appreciate it very much.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Mr. Shirt. I'm sorry you can't talk.
All right.
Let's continue on. We're at a point now. I think we've heard all the public comment. We've discussed it on the board. Is anyone ready to make a motion on this item, please?
Yeah, there's no motion necessary.
No motion.
It's
just
provide direction to staff as appropriate. So
the direction is no changes this year. Everyone agree with that?
I agree.
All right.
I don't agree.
Okay. Let's move on now to our next item. If anybody's here wants to, for the fireworks, if you want to, we'll take a short little break here if you wanted to leave. And thank you for coming. It's going to be a 5-minute break.
Biology break.
Huh? Michael, I know. He didn't. We're going to go on now to item 8B, consideration of 2020 district priorities and goals with board direction as deemed appropriate. You want to give a staff report?
Sure. So, as you've done in the past, you've considered priorities kind of on an annual basis. And since this is month number three for me, I thought this would be a good place to start for the rest of 2020 so that we can set some priorities. Attachment A provides some overview of what your priorities were in the past and accomplishments that have been achieved over the past year or so. And then attachment B is a kind of an exhaustive list of possible tasks and priorities to work on. They've been categorized in the past, so you've seen these same formats in the past. However, what I decided to do was pull from that exhaustive list of priorities what I think the top three were. And I did that because there's a saying that comes from the book From Good to Great by James Collins, and he says basically if you have more than three priorities, then you have none. So we need to focus our efforts on what are the top priorities of this board for the rest of the year. And I've proposed three that I think fit that category, but this would certainly be the time for you to tell me differently. So the top three that I've identified are the fire service options. So we still don't know the results of Measure A20. It looks like it's going to fall just short, but that hasn't been solidified. As the fire engine passes. And so with that is going to come a lot of work on developing where do we go from here? What options do we have as a district to provide fire service that could range from divesting of the power to possible contracting out for services? What would it look like to stand up our own fire station again? So what are those options? There's going to be a lot of work that goes into that. So that's why I think it's one of the top three priorities. We have to address water rates. It's been almost 5 years since the last water rate process. And in order to continue with those pass-through costs that we pay for on our state water and our Lopez water, that has to be done within 5 years. So that's another high priority, as well as implementing the water system CIP projects that have been identified, and many of them currently are under design. We have to address how to fund those and the implementation of those projects in concert with the water rate increase. So that's why I chose these three as the top priorities. Doesn't mean other things on the list won't get done, but certainly it helps us to focus our priority as staff on what we're going to work on, and then those other priorities can be worked on as resources and time allow. So with that, I'll turn it over to you for any direction or changes in those priorities you might see fit to make, and that's pretty much my staff report.
So the water rates, we're doing a 218?
Yeah, we have right. to go through a 218 process.
So how long would you say, educate people and then actually do the two, you have to do mailers, right, for that?
Yeah, there's it's prescribed by law. Once you introduce the water rate ordinance, how soon after that you have to have the, you can't have it any sooner than 45 days. So, but before that would be certainly workshops on rate structure, mm-hmm. As far as there's certain things in your water rate structure that I think are going to need to be addressed. One of them is right now everyone gets a base amount of water with their base charge. That's something that I don't think really complies with Prop 218, so we'll have to change that. Then there's a matter of, you know, how much do we want to include in the base rate versus how much do we include in the usage rate. That's a little more art than science. You know, there's two extremes. You can have a flat rate, or you could have a completely variable rate. Both of those extremes probably aren't, couldn't be, they could violate Prop 218, so you have to fall somewhere in the middle and in the rate structure. So we'll have some, you know, workshops on the board's desire for a rate structure. We'll have public outreach during the, you know, once the process starts before the public hearing that would count up any protests to that water rate increase.
So maybe 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, so I would love to get it implemented, you know, by September at the latest. So working backwards, that's probably a reasonable. But that's why I want to focus on these priorities, is so that all this other extraneous things that we've been focusing our attention on, we can put those at the bottom of the list and work on what's important.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah. I think those three are important priorities. I just wanted to put out some things that I think should also be addressed as time permits, one being the fireworks ordinance needs some work, as we've talked about. In terms of sewer, I think it's not too soon to start looking at the lift station and planning for sea level rise for that. I think there are grants available from the state for that sort of thing. And two, it's pretty old lift station anyway, so I think that should get on the list, as well as remediating any leaks in the sewer system. In terms of water, I still think it would be a good idea for this board to do an assessment of our water portfolio and where we want to go with that in the future, including Delta Conveyance Project and Central Coast Blue. For solid waste, I've been hearing since I got on the board that we're going to have a dedicated staff person to deal with solid waste issues in the community, and I don't know whatever happened with that. Because we've got a big problem with dumping that's ongoing, and could also do more to educate people about recycling, because that's constantly changing with China being out of the game now. As well as doing more cleanups. You know, we talked about the insurance earlier tonight. And then a review of the rate structure. And I think that the rate structure review, you know, possibly going to pay-as-you-throw is something that you've been talking to people about.
Right. I had been in contact with Bill Statler, and he was holding off since, I believe, the IWRMA. I don't know if I have all those letters.
IWMA.
Yep, okay. They are considering, he wanted to hold off until their district, a new district administrator, was ready to look at that as well. So,
Did he have an idea of a time frame on that?
I can look back at the email. I feel like I forwarded it to you, or maybe I can if I haven't.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. And then just a lot of technology upgrades to bring the district more into the 21st century, like the e-bills and online payments and credit card payments that we talked about earlier. It would also be good if we could get maybe a couple of monitors in here that we could display presentations on, as well as like they do at a number of the local city council meetings when somebody's speaking, the speaker's facing us, but the people in the audience can't see them, so they display that on the screen. So I think that's something AGP can do. At a meeting a year or so ago of the Social Media Technology Outreach Committee, we talked to, I forget who the expert was that came in, but talked to us about how to make this room better acoustically so that people who are hearing impaired wouldn't have so much trouble hearing, because it's kind of echoey. You can hear my voice echoing right now. And he said that you can put in ceiling tiles that are fairly inexpensive that would do a lot to improve the sound quality in this room. And then also looking at devices for the hearing impaired, the ones that you had for Lucia the other meeting that went in her ears didn't work with her hearing aids, so some other sort of device. And then like some real-time translation in the event that we can ever encourage people who are more comfortable speaking Spanish to come to our meetings so that they can follow along with the meetings. And some of those last things are in the realm of the Social Media Technology Outreach Committee, so we can talk about them more in detail at that meeting that we have coming up on the 30th, I think. Anyway, I just wanted to put those things out there as areas that I also think are important to look at going forward as time permits.
Yeah, and those are all good things. I think some of them are on that list that was provided in Attachment B. Some of the things related to this room, I think, yeah, I would like to see us, and I think we might be able to get some of that money from the county to upgrade our equipment. However, I would want to hold off until we know what's happening with fire, because if right. we lose this building, then there's right. no reason for us to put investment into this room if, you know, another agency is going to take over this building. So
I get that. Maybe we only do the components that we could take with us.
Yes.
Question, just wondering where the low-level response, that Lopez Contracting falls in this, because I think that's another thing that, and yes. Yeah, it's raining now, but we just got out of a drought and we may be turning around 51% now, but.
So that's a good example of, you know, we're still going to get other things done other than these top three.
Yeah.
Only because that's prioritized by the other agencies as well. And it's very important, but, you know, if I had to replace that with, you know,
something
on here, I could see it taking the place of our CIP implementation or in concert.
Concert, maybe not a replace, no.
But that's just, yeah. These are really this is our focus. Other things will get done as time allows and priorities
stack
up. So
that's probably going to get done anyway because of it's part of Zone 3 Tech and all that. Yeah.
Our goal is to have that done this month, so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, as far as suggested changes, the whole process, it has to go through CEQA.
Yeah.
So.
I know, I understand that, yeah.
You know, that's going to be an extended project, but at least getting it rolling. We hope to do that this month.
Because I'm just wondering how we're going to sit in August unless the rain does keep up.
So I heard today that yesterday's storm added 70 acre feet to the lake, so that's a pretty good amount, and that's just as of this morning. So
it's about how much it added to Front Street, too. Thank you.
No, it looks good to me.
I like how you showed things we've accomplished, or, you know, where we are on each different project. I think that helps.
Yeah, I think you did a really good job on this, and I'm, of course, our fire is number one, and the leaky pipes. That's the capital improvement program is definitely our number one priority. priorities and everything that everyone's mentioned, I agree with. I think we could put on for later. We have the whole list here, so I think you did a good job of. And I would wonder about the. We had a. Even before I was on the board, there was somebody that was working part time, was doing the. Do we still have that?
Records.
Cody Grable. Yeah, Cody. So we still have that program, and it was adopted, I believe, in 17. And then in regards to the operator in training, they were hired in February of 19. And so, that position has been filled. I know with training and getting the D1 license, I'm not sure how much has gone to garbage and becoming a whole solid waste with educating the customers and reaching out to businesses. I know we've had some people contact us about the garbage program and the trash cans. But, I know he just recently got his D1, so I know his focus has been on the D1.
Okay. I'm sorry, what's a D1?
Distribution license. It's the first step. I know our system only allows us up to get to 3, so he already received his D1. It's a license to run the system. So, okay. Yeah, he got licensed, so right now that's been what he's been working on, and I know that'll...
So that's something we can put on the burner, too, for the cleanup, having someone that handles that. And
well, he's there.
He is there.
Stupid question. When do we start working on the budget?
Carrie, our budget manager.
I would say I bring it at the end of May for a review, and then we do a preview usually, and then so you can have anything you'd want changed or anything, any comments, and then we have to have it adopted by June 30th. So yep. You'll see it before June 30th and, again, way before that. So,
thank you.
Okay. I'm ready to open for public comment. Anybody have public comment on this item?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I think the highest priority your district needs to push to the top of the list is the voting districts. You set some wheels in motion on February 12th, and that clock is ticking. I figure you have about 60 days left to get that figured out. So, or you're going to have a possible that you could have some legal issues. And just looking at tonight's warrants, your legal counsel has some billing on that. So that needs to get resolved so that it doesn't get more expensive. The fireworks ordinance, clearly, there's a miscommunication with Mr. Lieberman, Chief Lieberman, and what your expectations are from the ordinance. And there's no reference to Five Cities Fire Authority, so it sounded to me like it's not my job. That's OCSD's fire ordinance. I had a question about the water rate review. I see in most agencies that there's a water rate study done that analyzes what the raise would be for, what capital improvement projects are necessary, what what operations are necessary, and then of course whatever those rates are raised can only go to those things. That's how the 218 works. That's the law. Something that I would like to see your district include is a real water conservation program, something that changes out fixtures. I know you point to the state because you're a small district, but because you are a small district and you are a disadvantaged community, you're likely eligible for grants to change out toilets, to change out shower heads, to lower the flows. The less water the people of Oceano use, the less there is, the more there is at Lopez, the more there is in the state pipeline. And that then gives you flexibility for the water portfolio that you have. some of your neighbors would like to buy some. If you don't have it to sell or you choose not to sell it, if you're saving it, why wouldn't you sell it? Then you would have some revenue to do the other things that you want like to do for your system. And the less water you use, the less water is going to the sewer plant, less wear and tear on the cost of the sewer plant. It all around saves money for the ratepayers.
Go ahead.
They have to be recognized. I just want to make sure I was recognized. I appreciate that the idea of better payment method is an option or is looking to be addressed. I would like to explain that when I did come in to pay my water bill yesterday, the option to opt into this payment method was never told to me. So hearing about it tonight was the first I heard. So thank you for that. I did go on the website to try to pay when I was dealing with this, and it's not on the front page. It doesn't tell you this option is there. It's buried way down in a link. So maybe one of the first things you could do that doesn't really take any money at all and could move up the list of priorities pretty quick is make it more accessible for people to see that option. I know in my circumstance, I share a meter, so I'm only required to pay half of my bill. So if I were to opt in, I'm now stuck paying 100% of a bill that I only owe 50% of. So that option doesn't work for me personally, and I'm sure it doesn't work for people in like the mobile home parks or who also are in a dilemma where they have multiple people on one meter. So the sooner we could step into the 22nd century, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Seeing none, we will come back and move on to our next item, which is hearing items. Are there any hearing items or written communications or latency, future agenda items? Anybody want to explain something?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to ask, and maybe at some point the board will agree that we should have an open meeting session on Central Coast Blue. And also wanted to let everyone know that there is a public meeting on Central Coast Blue, which will have the city councils of Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach attending, and that's at the Government Center in Arroyo Grande on March 31st at 6 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from anyone? No closed session, so with that, anybody ready to adjourn?
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Adjourn.